News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell. Beautiful Wednesday morning on Rochester Today with Mike Doherty, better known as MnDOT Mike from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
You going to stick with the MnDOT Mike thing? Is it kind of taken off?
It's got the alliteration, so I think we will. Yeah. We got Trooper Troy, who's just down the hall from me. So we, yeah.
And I tell you what, when I have to type it out, it's a lot easier.
Very
MnDOT
much. MnDOT
Mike. I kind of like that. All right. Once a month or so, we get together with Mike, and he updates us on everything happening with the Minnesota Department of Transportation, which this time of the year is a ton.
Yes.
This is the getting up to being the very, 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 very busy season after you guys have been in hibernation all winter long, except for snow plowing.
Exactly. Yep.
And preparing for what's going to be coming up. But I'm going to throw the phone number out as well before we get started. 282-1234. If you have a question for MnDOT Mike about any of the highway projects going on or any of the state highways.
Correct.
Southeastern Minnesota, pretty much.
Yeah, the 11-county region in southeastern Minnesota.
And that is quite a few miles of pavement, to say the very least. Okay. Boy, oh boy. It's tomorrow, right?
When we'll have our construction
the state
kickoff tomorrow.
Officials kick
it
off?
Yeah, Commissioner Charlie Zelli will be up in St. Paul, and he'll be announcing the overall statewide construction kickoff and kind of the whole shooting match of, you know, kind of some of the key projects that people encounter through the regions in the metro area. I think they're still doing the final tabulations, but statewide it's going to come in about at $1 billion worth of construction work that we'll see.
One season.
Last year it was just a touch higher. Like they say, it is very expensive, but and a lot of that is just maintaining what we have now, you know, extending the life of pavement, you know, resurfacing things. So there's additional new construction as well, you know, often in the case of bridges and those sorts of things.
And they'll be making a statewide announcement. Obviously, we'll be getting information about all of the projects that will be happening here in the southeast corner of the state. You mentioned a few the last time you were here, but the list is quite a bit longer than that, I take it.
Yeah, there's upwards of like 36 projects that are going on, and then some additional ones that started last year and will continue this year. So, yeah, it's just a busy season. I think there's nearly something going on in all of each county in southeastern Minnesota. And in some places such as Rochester, Owatonna, Red Wing, just even over in Eota, they've got multiple projects that will take some time and care for motorists to pay attention and understand what's going on.
Something to look forward to.
Yep. The end result's good.
That's right. We always have to look long-term in our enjoyment of the road once it's finished. We do have a caller, Mike. Good morning. You're on KROC. Hello.
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Would you like to hear about the 19th Street Bridge again?
Sure. What?
Been trying to get a stop sign on the ramp from 52 northbound to 19th Street.
Okay, where it splits.
There's a yield sign there right now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of vehicles don't pay attention to it because they're trying to get to the green light on turning to the right down Elton Hills Drive.
Okay.
So they kind of just slip through there. In the meantime, there's traffic coming off of the southbound on-ramp around 19th. Those folks making a left turn from the on-round south ramp, and they run into each other there.
So they're scooting across the bridge going towards Elton Hills Drive.
So a simple answer would be to put a stop sign instead of a yield sign at the top of that ramp that goes from the northbound 52 up to the 19th Street.
Or goes to the right. Yeah, we know where you're talking about.
Yep. You know, I think that's one thing they look at. I think it's probably such that where the traffic counts aren't. And I guess, you know, we'd have to look at the crash data as well. I know there are a lot of folks that, you're right, don't necessarily pay attention. But, you know, I don't have the crash data there to tell me for certain.
Well, there shouldn't be any crashes ever.
That's true in a perfect world. But
well, the other thing that
times in this past 3 weeks, I've had to take that turn up there. And it's all three times I had cars zipping right through. I got to be very careful. Mm-hmm. I got to do 5 to 10 miles an hour to get across that intersection. But it's a possibility. And the other thing that I was going to ask you about is there a completion date on the 14 from Rochester east to, say, Yoda or wherever you're going up there on Highway 14? I understand there's going to be a big project.
Yep.
We'll be talking about that one for sure.
Yeah.
That's scheduled?
It is. Actually, it'll be kicking off next month about, I believe it's May 5th. They're putting a roundabout in at Highway 14 and 42, which is right at Yoda there.
Uh-huh.
And then additionally, that'll be closed down, so there'll be a detour up through County Road 9, you know, over to the east there. And then a short time after that's done, Highway 42, which runs north-south by Yoda, that'll be having a repaving project that'll have a detour for a while, about, I think, 3 to 4 weeks. As well.
Were you ever thinking of making that into a four-lane from Rochester out that way or not?
I don't think that's on the plans right now because going east, you have the parallel highway of I-90 just to the south there. So
sure.
That kind of helps serve. But, you know, that's why there's a lot of that discussion to the west on Highway 14 because there isn't a parallel highway to kind of ease some of that traffic load. But, you know, as Rochester grows, as a lot of these communities in the outlying areas grow, you know, that would certainly be something that would be studied.
Well, I wish you'd look at 19th Street again.
I'll talk to our traffic folks and get their perspective. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Thanks for the call. You know, the other thing you factor in is when you're coming off the northbound ramp and if you have multiple vehicles, everybody stopping all of the time, you at times could bottle up onto the highway.
Yep, and that's one thing we have to guard against, and we really try to work with helping folks sequence the lights because you don't want traffic backing up onto a highway where people are traveling at 60 miles an hour.
Like it used to happen on 55th mm-hmm. all of the time, or this probably still could happen. To be honest with you, I try to avoid that neck of the woods at almost all costs.
I haven't seen that, but yeah, the city did that project last year,
and
I think, you know, it's yielding some good. Yeah, they widened it, and I think it's yielding some good results.
All right. Midnight Mike's here. 282-1234 is our number. We're going to take a quick break and talk about the summer construction season, which is going to kick off next month, and we'll talk more about the Yoda project and the roundabout and get some more details. That's coming up next on KROC AM.
40 KROC AM.
It is brought to you by Mystic Lake Casino. Dick Fox's Golden Boy, starring Frankie Avalon, Fabian, and Bobby Rydell, are bringing the rockin' 50s and 60s hits to Mystic Lake May 29th. Get tickets at mysticlake.com. A wind advisory in effect today. It's going to be warm and windy. We could have wind gusts above 40 miles per hour later on this afternoon, but with that, a high of 73. Tonight, chance of scattered storms. It's actually a pretty good chance of scattered storms. We're expecting a low in the upper 50s, and tomorrow a chance of storms early in the day, then becoming sunny and a high around 60 degrees, dropping to the low 30s. On Thursday night, a cooler day Friday, cloudy and a high of about 45 degrees. Then a pretty nice weekend. We'll have a partly cloudy sky Saturday, 53. Cloudy on Easter Sunday and a high of 50. Monday, maybe rain. And it could be mixed precipitation at times and a high around 50 degrees. Right now, sunshine and it is already 60 in the downtown at KROC AM. Mike Doherty, MnDOT Mike in the studio this morning. And Mike's official... I always get your official title.
Public Affairs Coordinator. And then
for MnDOT District 6.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the long part of it. And tomorrow is the big announcement from the State Department of Transportation about our summer construction season. As you know, anybody who's lived in Minnesota for any length of time, there are only two seasons.
Correct.
Winter and road construction season. We'll get to that in a moment, but we do have a call, Mike. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yes, I had a question for him on... I live by Highway 60 by Zumber Falls. Between Zumber Falls and Wabasha, the road is, it's a 50-mile-an-hour road because it is so crooked as per a state highway. And we've had, in the last 2 years, two fatalities of motorcycles that couldn't manage the curves. He had talked about fatalities or... accidents to determine if a road needs to be repaired or fixed. I was just wondering how many deaths on a road within 10 miles do you need before you would straighten out curves on a state highway?
Well, it would be a little more complex than that, but obviously, you know, the things that go into looking at road changes, among them are the crashes, the serious and the fatal crashes, and what were the conditions that led to that? What were the, you know, what was the cause of that? So I know that that is, those are tragic situations, and I know when there are fatalities, they do what they do call a fatal review. They're everyone who has some involvement, whether it's the emergency responders, it's the state, it's the transportation engineers, everybody gathers and they look at just the facts and what occurred, what were the conditions, and do sort of a backtrack and are there things that can improve, and it's a good discussion. Unfortunately, they're brought together because of a tragic situation, but that will be something that our transportation engineers would look at. It is obviously costly, but lives are important. So that's the balancing thing that they do look at is if a road does need straightening, what is the history, the crash history there, and what were the conditions or the circumstances that did lead to those crashes?
You know, I'm going to chime in. I know quite a few motorcycle enthusiasts, and I know that stretch of road well, and I know that they actually choose that stretch of road to ride their bikes on purpose because of the curves.
But
I actually enjoy the ride itself.
Yeah, I don't enjoy the road myself. I live around it, have to live with the
sure.
the crookedness and the hills. But I thought, okay, are you as a motorcyclist ready to have another motorcyclist die this year? You know, it's one per year. Is that okay? Is that just the way you want to have the road be? I mean, it's a great road to ride. We'll just sacrifice one person a year.
Well, you got to put part of it on the motorcyclists as well. Are they going too fast for conditions at that point?
Yeah, well, the whole road is labeled 50 miles an hour, so you realize the curves are probably 10 or 20 or whatever. The one coming out of Zumber Falls, yeah, it's like four or five sharp curves in
sure.
a row. And the other one was down by number four by Tileman. And you drive past a dead person on the road. You don't really care for that either. And it's dry conditions. It's nothing that, it isn't wet conditions or anything.
All right.
Like snow on the road, it's a motorcyclist.
Sure.
And that's not saying in the wintertime when people have to navigate the road in the wintertime of sharp curves, of icy roads or anything like that that have accidents.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call.
Thank you.
I did not know that they did that. You think about doctors, and I know mm-hmm. when they have an outcome in a medical situation that is a tragic outcome, that they'll get together and have that meeting where they go through every aspect of the case to find out if there was something that could have been done differently
mm-hmm.
and try to learn from that. I didn't know that the transportation people did that.
Yeah, it's one of the things I learned when I started this job, and it does, I think, signal that, you know, all the people that do work for MnDOT that I've encountered really take their job seriously. Like, you know, he mentioned some crashes during the winter. Those snowplow folks are often, you know, very concerned and want to know what the conditions were, and because it's a piece of road that they care for. I know the engineers that design those roads, they, when a fatal notice comes in, they all take a look and are concerned. So, yeah, it's certainly something that's always looked at, but obviously we have a program called Toward Zero Deaths, and it's MnDOT, it's the State Patrol, and the State Health Department, and the goal is to get to zero deaths, and we have seen a very good decline in the number of fatalities on the state's highways, and they continue to try to do programs, whether it's enforcement, road design, signing, just public education, to kind of keep that going down, and obviously this is something that they have a great care about, and they'll be having some news conferences coming up this spring about some of those things
sure.
that can lead to that.
Now, Highway 60 in particular, you have a situation like that where you have topography.
Yes.
I don't even know if you could straighten that road out. I mean, the specific areas that the caller addressed, I'm not mm-hmm. zeroed in that much. I know I've driven that road many times, and it is, in a full-size van, it ain't a lot of fun.
No.
Because it is very curvy. But I do know motorcyclists who do take that route because they feel it's fun to take those curves.
And you point out a good situation. There is legislation now that MnDOT is reviewing all of the state's 55-mile-an-hour highways to see how many should be bumped up to 60 miles an hour. And obviously that sort of thing is taken into account when they do those reviews, whether it does go to 60, because additional speed, you know, carries greater risk, and they have to look at the topography, you know, the inlets, everything that goes into that. So
we have a couple calls, Mike. Good morning. You're on KROC.
My turn?
Yes, it is.
Excuse me. County Road, I think it's a County Road 6 over by Goodhue that's been under construction or was last summer. Is it still, or if not, do you know when that's going to be done?
I don't.
It's a county road.
Yeah, I would.
It is, so you wouldn't have that information.
No, but if you call the Goodhue County Engineer, Greg Isaacson, you know, those folks, they know their projects backwards and forwards, and they'd be able to tell you for sure. I do know that winter kind of snuck up on us quickly this year, so there were a few projects that didn't quite get to completion stage, so that may be the case, or maybe it is a two-year project. I'm not certain.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for your call. Good morning. You're on with MnDOT Mike.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I do have a comment I'd like to make. You know, that gentleman was talking about the curvy roads there on 60. There's a lot of curvy roads around Minnesota, but the one thing he's got to remember also, if you have a straight road, how much faster would these motorcycles or cars be going then? And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Great. Thank you for your call. Before we go to the news break, just one more thing. We have to talk about the highway project.
Yes.
We
we'll get there.
The purpose of the show today. We have one more call, too. Boy, I don't want to cut anybody off, so it'll be a break for the news in a moment here. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yes, I was wondering if you could shed any light on Highway 14 West between Dodd Center and Owatonna, when it's going to start, or if you could give me any update on that.
Okay, can we hold off and answer that after the news?
Yeah, we'll hit that right after the news.
We'll start with that one.
Yep.
Because that's, I know a lot of people are concerned about that. I just wanted to point out with the MN511 website and apps, this winter I made a concerted effort to try to check that before I went anywhere, especially when there was any weather going on, and I want to compliment you folks from MnDOT. The information was up to date. Particularly a couple of weeks ago, we had one coming on the Sunday storm.
You're right.
And the map was changing the colors at a very frequent basis. So obviously people were radioing in the conditions, and the map was being kept up to date. And it was very very useful because I had a college-age kid who had to hit the road. And we had that lull in the afternoon where things got better. And it was very it was nice to be able to access that and go, well, let's get going now because things are improving for a little while.
That's good to hear. Yeah, and speaking of construction season, it's great for construction season because we'll have all that on that map as well.
And that's easy to find. It's just MN511.
511MN.org.
That's it. Okay. Mike Doherty, MnDOT Mike in the studio. We're going to talk about the summer road construction season. We'll talk about Highway 14 out by Dodge Center right after the news break. 60 in the downtown. Kim David's in the news center. He's coming up next on KROC AM. News Talk 1340 KROC AM. Good morning. I'm Andy Brownell. It's Rochester Today with MnDOT Mike. Mike Doherty from the Minnesota Department of Transportation. Good driving, summer driving music here.
It is. And feels like summer.
It's almost summer driving season. And from just the hints that Mike has given me about the announcements that will be made tomorrow concerning statewide highway projects, bridge projects, you name it, it could be a fairly chaotic driving season here in Minnesota. We had a caller right before we went into the break asking about that notorious stretch of Highway 14 running from Dodge Center over to Owatonna, which has been, I know, on MnDOT's list of I wish we could do it for a long, long time. And where is that at now? I know they're doing a little bit of it.
Yeah, there's a 2.5-mile portion just east of Owatonna, just east of Highway 218 there, that's in year two. So shortly, we were just at a meeting on Monday in Owatonna talking about it, and they have to finish up some stuff. They put the concrete roadbed down for the westbound traffic last year, and they're just kind of tidying things up. They'll switch traffic over to that, so everybody will get to drive. You know, it'll be single lane both ways on those new westbound lanes. Then they'll move over to the eastbound lanes. They're going to tear all that apart, regrade it, and then put in the concrete road there this summer. And so that stretch will be done. Then there's about 13 miles left that need to be done, and that is where the plot that they've taken actually leaves the current roadway and goes south, just south of Claremont. So right now they're in a lot of the soil testing, doing more engineering, and also there's a program called Corridors of Commerce that funded this
sure.
expansion. We received money to do right-of-way acquisition, so because we do need to purchase land for that new highway. So they're in the process there of meeting with landowners and figuring out, you know, what's needed and negotiating a price and going from there. So it's on the horizon, and you talk to people at the legislature, and there's great hope for that completion. We don't have a timeline yet because we don't have money for
right.
it. But additionally, though, on that stretch, that two-lane stretch that exists between Dodge Center and Owatonna right now, that's due for a repaving this summer.
Oh, goodness.
So come July, there will be delays. It's about 13 miles there, and it's what they call a mill and overlay, so they'll be, you know, digging up a portion of the road and then laying down new black.
So we're going to have flagmen.
Yep. Yeah, take your turn. So, you know, if you're thinking you're going to get to Owatonna in 45 minutes, I'd probably plan for an hour and 10 minutes maybe, just because there will be those portions where you'll need to wait in line for the traffic to come from the other way. Then they'll guide you through the construction zone, and then you can be on your way.
The worst ones. I hate those.
Yeah, it's the tough, but that's the only way we can keep the highways open and get the job done at the same time.
So that one specifically, when will that overlay project
go? That starts July 6th.
Okay.
So, and that'll run into, I think, late August, somewhere in there.
All right. Now, back to the four-lane thing, just to
yes.
visualize it in my mind. Right now, when you come out of Dodge Center, you swing to the north.
Mm-hmm.
And then you join up with what I call Old 14.
Yes.
So, in other words, we're just going to get rid of that triangle part of it and cut straight. If you come out of Dodge Center, instead of taking the curve to the north, it's just going to shoot straight.
Yeah, you'll go get across the railroad tracks, and as you kind of climb up that hill
yeah.
before you get to Highway 56, right in that area is where it'll head south.
Okay.
And it goes just south of Claremont. It'll connect, you know, a couple county roads. In these processes where we have a road that we don't need anymore, we have what we call a turnback agreement. So we'll be negotiating with Dodge County and Steele County where those portions of Highway 14.
And it'll also put you on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Correct. That's one of the great safety things that we really wanted to look at there is there won't be that intersection with the railroad tracks anymore. And that's one of those additional things where if you can, you know, design a new route, and I think that factored into the final route that they chose.
Now, up at St. Paul, obviously, transportation funding is a big deal this year. The governor and the Senate Democrats have come up with their plan, which uses a wholesale gasoline tax increase mm-hmm. for a big chunk of it. And you have a competing plan now by the House Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
At least from the people who are pursuing construction, they must be heartened at least that there's an agreement on the size of the scope of this, because the Republican plan is about $7 billion. And that's pretty close to what the governor has proposed as far as road and bridges are concerned, separate from transit projects.
Yep.
So I know you can't step into the political realm of
this. No, but I think it is good that has been brought to the forefront, that discussion. And I think, you know, it's obvious that all the leaders do see the need out there. And it's like anything. It's our system. It's how we get to a solution
yeah.
is the negotiation process. And they both have some good ideas, and they're looking long-term. And that's what MnDOT was really hoping is a sustainable long-term program to help so that we know we can get all that work done in a regular basis on a regular time. You know, how you take care
yeah.
of your home. You don't want to let the roof go too long or you know, the water heater or something like that. You know, you need to replace those things in due time.
It's amazing how much this concrete costs. And you look at just that 2 mile stretch of 14 by Owatonna,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's $12 million.
It's $12 million. Part of that it's a reconstruction, so they're
right.
you know, they have to
tear
out. Yeah, but yeah, it is it's very expensive, and it lasts quite a while. But you know, the upfront sticker shock is always startling.
And I know that last 13 miles is going to be like $200 million to do that.
Upwards, yeah, it's just under $200 million.
Yeah.
I think is you know, and that's
it
but
just boggles my
yeah,
mind.
And that's calculating with the current dollars. So you know,
so it'll be more. Okay, EOTA, that's another
yep.
high profile project. We just kind of touched on it,
mm-hmm.
and Tracy's not here, so I have to do the roundabout thing.
Yeah, it's it'll be going in. It's at the intersection of Highway 42 and Highway 14. Just to the west of EOTA there.
Will this be any different than it? You learn something every time you do a project.
Mm-hmm.
Will this have any differences to it than other roundabout projects, newer, innovative things?
Here and there, I don't think anything
Drastic.
Okay. Yeah, drastic or noticeable. You know, they've looked at different curves on the middle part, the round part. You know, if you look at it, it looks like there's a circular sidewalk that goes around that, and there's a curb to it. That's what we actually call a truck apron. So it's designed so the trucks with the slope curve
just drive right up on it.
Yeah, they bring the trailer right back up and then down. So it's fairly easy for them. But people see tire marks and things, and they think, oh, they got it wrong. Look at, you know, the trucks are driving all over it. It's designed that way, so that's something to remember as they move along.
Yeah, you don't have to call that one in. The truck did it the way they were supposed to do it.
Yep.
Okay, so big detour there. You're going to have to go up to County 9
yep.
to get over to Eota.
Yeah, you'll cross Highway 42, and I think it's County Road 7 just to the east of Highway 42. You can come down into Eota that way.
And then you mentioned 42
yep.
from Eota.
Yeah, that'll happen in just as they wrap up the roundabout project. Yes, from Eota to north to Plainview. So you'll include Elgin as well is in the in between there. That's going to get a resurfacing, repaving, and they're also doing, I think, some culvert work and things like that. So there will be, around a four-week detour that'll take you out of Plainview and just to the east of Highway 42, and you come down through some county roads to intersect with Highway 14, and then you'll be able to cut across. So it won't be... It won't be the length of the project, but it'll be about 4 weeks or so where there will be a detour there. It'll be in the summer. We're trying to work around a lot of community festivals as well. And it's amazing the juggling act of, you know.
Can't do it that week.
Yeah.
We have this going on.
Well, we often design our contracts over in Owatonna, especially so because of their Steel County Fair, to make sure that access is open. They've had so much work on 35 and 14. And so... We've been able to do it, but it certainly, you have to do a few cartwheels to make it all happen.
Okay, then we'll go to Rochester right away then.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to do, I guess it won't go that far north. So I guess I was thinking the Olmsted County Fair. It won't. You're going to stop at 28.
Yep, 28.
So that's going to be a big headache for a lot of motorists for a while.
Yeah, that's going to pinch down traffic. It begins in early May, and it's going to be a repaving of Highway 63 south from 28th Street down to Highway 30, which is just south of the airport. And traffic will be open. It'll be restricted lanes. So instead of having – people are used to four lanes now, there'll be two lanes, one lane for each direction. And they'll be repaving that. And I believe they hope to finish that up in July.
Is that all blacktop right now?
Yep. I believe so. And then just south of that, though, is it's concrete. And they'll be doing a concrete pavement repair on that in October. I think it's September and October.
That's done by Stuartville.
Yeah, from the Root River Bridge up to Highway 30. And then additionally, the county is also doing the interchange project at the airport, and that'll begin in early July. And so there'll be some lane restrictions there again, but people will be able to go through. They just have to remember it'll just be a little slower time because there won't be as many traffic lanes. They'll be needing to go at a slower speed because it is a work zone.
I like how you say a little slower.
Yes.
Depends on the time of the day,
true.
Whether it's a little slower or a lot slower.
Yeah.
Will there be any overlap? Or will the overlay be done before they get done going with the bridge?
It should be. They always kind of hedge it and just say it's possible. You know, if weather doesn't quite work right, it could be just a little bit of an overlap, but there shouldn't be much at all. And I'm kind of excited about the interchange project. It's, you know, they're going to build the new bridge just to the south of the current bridge. So they're able to keep the traffic open through there, and there's going to be, you know, some roundabouts and just better access, better visual sight lines.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it's and the county's been heading that up and has really, you know, worked hard to make this thing a real positive.
Anything else big here in Rochester locally? I mean, you always have the little repairs going on,
mm-hmm.
but anything else that will cause a major traffic disruption this summer for us?
I think throughout, you know, right in the four points of the compass around here and nothing really close. You know, as you get further out, you know, you'll want to watch if you get over to like I-35 in Owatonna, that really sees some delays.
That's forever and ever, right, that project?
It feels like it sometimes, but actually, you know, it should be wrapping up this fall, and that'll be so nice. And then south of Owatonna, if you're going southbound, there will be some concrete overlay, so there'll be some restricted traffic there. And some bridge work if you go north on 63 towards Lake City. There'll be some bridge work there.
You're in Wabasha County?
Yep, in Wabasha County. And if you're going, like if you west of, like if you're getting into Mazeppa, there's a couple bridges that are going to be repaired there. There'll be some detours to get into Mazeppa.
So there'd be Highway 60 there,
yeah,
right?
Highway 60.
Okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, you know, it'll be a mix of things. Some neat things. We'll be redoing the lighting all through Highway 52 here in Rochester. We're going to LED lights, which is fantastic. It's our standard now, and if you look at new projects, we've been putting in LEDs, and they are expensive, but they do bring a cost savings over the life of it. One of the things that our folks have mentioned, just because they last a lot longer, you know, upwards of 10 years compared to the 3 to 5 of the current ones, we won't have to have folks out to replace them, which is a great safety effort. So, you know, you have to have traffic control and somebody up in a bucket changing that, and then that's a hazard for motorists. So that's kind of nice not to have to worry about that. And the lighting is just, I think, is better, it seems to me anyway. And so that's kind of nice. We had a savings on it such with the bid that we're able to also do the lighting on I-35 in LED as well, and that'll come later this year. So
that'll be in Owatonna, I-35?
35 south of there all the way to the border, I believe.
Oh, neat.
So, yeah.
See, I even started switching the house over to LEDs. Finally, those CFL light bulbs I thought were a joke.
Mm-hmm.
I never bought into that business at all, but now I've tried the LEDs, and I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
Cost me more, but the idea that I'm not going to have to replace that bulb for
They're more efficient
long,
and long-term.
Long
yeah.
Yeah, I looked up the cost of like the lights I put in the kitchen, the dining room, I'm sorry, and they were spendy ones because they're more the decorative type.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And put those in there, and then I looked at the cost of running them per day, and I said, you know what? If I leave them on, I'm not sweating it anymore because I think it was like a penny
for
a day.
Yeah,
to run
it's
each
laughable. It's so great.
Okay. Bridge projects. We're going to take a break here in a minute. But
sure.
On Winona, you still got a major bridge project taking place in Winona.
That's really going, and we just hit a milestone there last week. The two river piers that are in the river, the goal was to get them above an elevation that surpasses the 100-year flood level because the river always floods. You know, it gathers all the melting snow, and that is an impediment to construction in the spring as they try to get going. So to stay on schedule, they were really worked through the winter. You know, these sub-zero days, people were out there. They did hit that, and people will be able to see that this summer if they go over there. Traffic remains open on the historic
bridge,
so you can get across. We'll also do some boat tours. We're in partnership with the Winona County Historical Society and Winona State University. We go out with one of the engineers under the bridge in a nice floating classroom boat from Winona State, and you can look at that. There's one, I think it's a Thursday every month through October is the plan. So
yeah, I've seen the boat. It's a nice boat.
It is. It's a fantastic.
I remember reading that they picked it up on a deal somehow. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. When is the new bridge scheduled for completion?
2016.
Okay.
So they're really working. They want to get that open to traffic, and then they'll switch their attention to the older bridge, and they'll do a rehab on that. So they'll keep traffic open constantly.
And where's the I-90 bridge project at?
That should wrap up next year. And so we'll see a lane, two lanes on the new bridge open towards the end of this year. Also,
oh, really?
Yeah, and also the Traveler Information Center, the rest area, that's due to open at the end of this year. So, yeah, we're starting to, you know, they've been working around the clock, too, down there. So it's kind of neat to see that kind of getting closer to the end. And those are two great projects. If people just like to look at construction.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, find a spot to pull over and just take a look. It's an amazing
feat.
When
you were a kid and played with your Tonka trucks,
yes.
And you watched these big things moving around out there and where they are in relation to the river and the work they're doing?
Yeah, it's stunning. They're cranes, they're barges, you know, they're just all sorts of activity going on. And, you know, there's upwards of hundreds of workers on these projects every day making it happen and doing it safely.
And I know this is out of your area, but I'm going to throw it out just in case, and you know the answer. If you don't, you're forgiven. The Lafayette Bridge. Is that going to be done this year?
I don't believe so. I think
Jeepers.
That's got another one. You know, it's one of those where they can open. They get new, but it just takes such time. And
it is.
Yeah, but I think it's got another year. I'd have to double check, but I think that's
that
the
is
case.
Turned into my most hated construction project.
Well, you should sign up for updates on MnDOT. They'll send out the updates on that.
Every time I go up there, what are they doing here?
Yeah.
I know it's a good project, and it'll be wonderful when it's done. It's needed, obviously, because of the bridge and the safety issues. But, oh, boy, the traffic flow issues up there have been
amazing. Hit it some bad times, yeah.
282-1234 is the number. Good morning. You're on KROC.
Yes, good morning.
Morning.
I was wondering if any ideas on the 40th Street, on the end of 40th Street near Gage School, the entrance to the storage facility. facility and also to the apartment buildings. Oh. The water collects there from all that water runoff. So when you have a bad rain, it can totally flood that street.
I have to caution you.
All that rain from 40th Street, from 10th Avenue, yep. You know, from the businesses around there, it all floods into that one channel.
Mike is here for the State Department of Transportation, and unfortunately he doesn't deal with the city streets, but we have Randy Staver on a regular basis with Rich Peterson in the morning, and I'll try to pass that along to him.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
bye
for the
now.
Call.
Thank you.
And we're going to take a real quick break, and there was one thing. Oh, I know what I want to talk to you about. Just a couple minutes about Highway 52 at Cannon Falls.
Yes.
We can talk about that real quickly right after the break. On KROC AM, MnDOT Mike's in the studio. We'll be right back. Our forecast today, 73 degrees for the high. With that, though, a wind advisory till 6 o'clock. Could have wind gusts over 40 miles per hour this afternoon. Tonight, the winds will die down, but scattered thunderstorms likely, and a low of 48. Chance of scattered thunderstorms early tomorrow, then becoming sunny and a high of 60. 32 the low Thursday night. Mid-40s and cloudy Saturday. Make that Friday. Oh, goodness. Friday. Saturday, 53, which would be much better. Easter Sunday, cloudy and a high of 50 and a chance of rain on Monday, maybe even mixed precip to start out the day and a high around 50 degrees. Right now, 62 degrees. Beautiful sunshine in downtown Rochester at KROC AM. It's already 3 minutes away from 11 o'clock. MnDOT Mike. Mike Doherty from the Minnesota Department of Transportation is in the studio with us this morning for one of his regular visits. And going into the break, we kind of went through a list of what we can expect for the busy summer highway construction season. And we're going to talk about a previous construction project,
yes,
which
yeah.
was a colossal project. And I know you've been spending quite a bit of time going up to Cannon Falls for community meetings because they have some businesses that too happy with the outcome.
Yeah, there was some concerns about the change in traffic directions and paths that people normally took into Cannon Falls. We put an interchange in. It was a two-year project, and it wrapped up last year. It was designed and requested by the community as well as the counties in that area as well for safety, and we removed the last two stoplights on Highway 52 between.
So it's a freeway.
Yes, yeah, it's. I think we call it an expressway now because it's a freeway would have to have all these controlled access yet, but it's getting there where.
Sure.
And that was the whole point was the safety is that there were fatalities, serious injuries occurring where people just didn't realize that there was a stoplight on this highway that they were driving, and put the interchange in, and the placement of it created different routes into some of the businesses on the south end of town. I guess we're in April now. So, but yeah, last month the Cannon Falls City Council voted to move ahead with a plan to seek an overpass. That was part of the original plan that was looked at there with the interchange and then an overpass at the north of that where the second stoplight was.
Sure.
It wouldn't be access to the highway, but it would be an additional access to the businesses on the west side of Highway 52.
Oh, I see. So the folks who are already in the city of Cannon Falls could cross over more easily.
Exactly, and it's a different. It's a one more route over there in case you know there's some concern about emergency vehicles if you do just have one access
okay.
over there. And they voted to go ahead with that because that was something that was talked about. It was planned. It's already there. If there was anything to change access to the highway, that's a quite a lengthy process to go through with the Federal Highway Administration, and the feeling was that. This was something better. So that's what they opted to go for, and now they're just pursuing funding options, talking with their members of the legislature and looking at that as
okay.
an additional.
Because I can see where the taking away the expressway would be a bit onerous. You spend a ton of money
yes.
to get it to this point, and then you're talking about undoing it.
Yeah, and just you know having another exit that in that close proximity is not something you'd see in an area with that level of highway traffic or the population area. You might see it in a large metropolitan area, but you know they do a lot of factoring in terms of how does that help people
sure
you know in safety and all of that going in. So
All right, Mike, we are out of time already. Wow. Linda, Mike, and I'm sure this summer we're going to see you on TV quite often wearing a vest and standing next to a construction project. So we look forward to that.
Vest and a hard hat.
Get used to it. It is already 11 o'clock. We'll see you in about a month, Mike.
All right, thank
you. Very good. 63 degrees downtown Rochester, KROC AM Rochester. Time for ABC News.